Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we're here at the beginning of the Christmas season to remember the greatest gift ever. The gift of your Son, Jesus, who left the glory of heaven to come to this fallen and broken world to save us from sin and from ourselves. But Lord, help us to realize this morning that we have our part to do as well, that we have to prepare the way for Jesus to come into our lives and into our hearts. Lord, speak to us this morning as we focus on your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As most of you know, this will be my last time preaching until Christmas Eve. Next week we have lessons and carols, and the week after that, Eric will be taking the service while I'm away in Haiti. I hope you remember that, Eric. So I was thinking, if I could leave you with one thing to think about and to work on, what would that be? Well, it's simply this: to make room for Jesus in your hearts and lives during the busyness of Christmas. As all of you know, Christmas can be a very busy time of year. Starting weeks before Christmas itself, you can tell that people are getting prepared because of how busy the malls are and how busy the roads are, especially Lansdowne these days. People are out and about getting gifts, getting groceries for all of their meals that they will prepare, and going to lunches and dinners with co-workers and friends. I don't know of any other time of the year that people put so much work into preparation. Usually birthdays and anniversaries, if we all remember them, require only a day or two to get prepared. But Christmas preparation begins weeks, if not months, ahead of Christmas itself. Some would say that these preparations can come just too early. But there are those who just love to get the decorations up early and start planning for the Christmas season. Not to mention any names, but Sean is one of those people. And I have to admit that this occurs in my family as well. Penny loves to begin the Christmas season early. Almost as soon as Thanksgiving is over, I get ready for those famous yearly words: Jonathan, can you get the Christmas tree out of the attic and put up the Christmas lights? At first, I try to pretend I didn't hear, and then I try to stall. But as the men in the congregation will know, that stalling tactics don't usually work when you have a wife that wants to get things done. For many people, Christmas is their favorite time of the year. It brings back memories of Christmases past with family and friends, and they want to create that atmosphere as early on as they can. Some people even take it to the extreme. I remember watching a TV show once where a man started to prepare for Christmas in February. He set up hundreds of thousands of Christmas lights around his home, all controlled by a computer. And he had to have people that would direct traffic on his streets. I'm sure that many of you here prepare for Christmas in special ways. Ways that your family has prepared for years, and ways that make Christmas time feel special for you. Preparing for Christmas can be fun, but there is so much more to the Christmas season than just preparing what is around us. We spend a lot of time preparing food, preparing our homes and preparing our yards, and buying the gifts that go under the tree. But the most important preparation is not what goes on the outside of us. The Bible tells us that the most important preparation that we can make at this time of year is what is on the inside of us. In fact, I think that we can get so busy with the physical preparations that we sometimes forget that we need to be spiritually prepared for this time of year when we celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world. I remember hearing the story of a mother once who was caught up in the busyness of last-minute shopping. She was running from store to store, trying to buy all those gifts that were still on her list. She suddenly realized that the little hand of her 3-year-old son was no longer holding hers. In a panic, she retraced her steps and found him standing with his little nose pressed flatly against a frosted window. He was gazing at a manger scene. Hearing his mother's near hysterical call, he turned around and shouted with innocent excitement, "Look, Mommy, it's Jesus, baby Jesus in the hay." with obvious indifference to his joy and wonder. His mother just impatiently jerked him away, saying, "We don't have time for that right now." Sometimes the busyness of the season makes it very difficult to remember what the season is truly all about. And this busyness can hinder us from preparing our hearts and minds as we should. The importance of preparing ourselves is the message that we hear from our message this morning from John the Baptist. He reminds us that we need to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord, not just at Christmas time, but every day when he knocks on the door to our hearts. Those times when he calls you and me to spend time with him in his word and talk to him in prayer. Now, as you probably remember, John the Baptist was a bit of a strange character. His coming was foretold by the prophet Malachi. And in chapter 4, verse 5 of the book that bears his name, God foretold the coming of John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus. John the Baptist was really someone who stood out in the crowd. And his life was pretty radical right from the very beginning. His parents were Elizabeth and Zechariah, who were elderly and childless. But Gabriel the archangel came to them and told them that they would have a son. At first, Zechariah didn't believe this. He doubted the words of God that were given to him through Gabriel, so he lost his ability to talk as punishment. But after John the Baptist was born, Zechariah's ability to talk came back, and his first words were an amazing prophecy about his son. Zechariah said that God had chosen John the Baptist as a prophet of the Most High to prepare the way for the Lord, and that he would preach salvation through the forgiveness of sins. And so, in Matthew chapter 3, we read about John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. He had become quite a bit of a wild man who wore clothes that were made of camel's hair and with a belt, a leather belt around his waist. And since he lived in the wilderness, he ate locusts and wild honey. It's quite a diet. But John the Baptist wasn't there to look different or to act different. He was there to get people ready for Jesus. His message was one of repentance, of preparing the way for the Lord. And his message is just as relevant for us today as it was back in the days of Jesus. We are told through the prophet Isaiah that John the Baptist would be a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." Jesus was coming to save the world that he had created. He was coming as a baby, born humbly and born vulnerable in a cruel and fallen world. He came not only to save the world, but to establish something brand new. Not a new religion, but a restored relationship with our Maker. He came to initiate the kingdom of God, which will be fully manifested when Jesus returns. Jesus was bringing with him newness of life and newness of purpose to those who heard and believed his message. Now, as many of you know, when we build something new, it requires very often that we remove any obstacles that are in the way. For example, if you build a shed, you remove any rocks and tree stumps and you level off the ground. At other times, low spots have to be built up so that whatever you are building has a strong and firm foundation. And you know what? A building like a shed is very much like having a relationship with others. That's because it requires that we remove any obstacles to that relationship. If those obstacles remain, then new relationships will not grow, and old relationships can fall apart. We have relationships with those around us, but God wants us to have a relationship with him. And Jesus came so that we might do that. Jesus comes to us, not just as a baby born many years ago, but now he comes as a Savior who has paid the price, so that you and I can once again have a fellowship and relationship with our God. But this requires that we do something as well. It requires that we remove any obstacles that are in our lives that would hamper that relationship. Because when there are obstacles, relationships, instead of growing, will die. In Old Testament times, when a king was expected to come to a certain city, there was a lot of preparation involved. Not only did the city have to be spruced up, but the road that led into the city had to be prepared. This sometimes involved major road work to prepare the way for the king. If there were high spots on the road, then the workers had to flatten them out, and if there were low spots, they had to be filled in. And if the road was crooked, those roads were made straight as well. Only when the road was smooth and straight was it ready for the king to travel on it. And this is the message that John the Baptist gives to us. The king is coming. The Lord and Savior of all creation is on his way. He knocks on the door of our hearts, asking if he may come in, even in the busyness of Christmas. Jesus has come. He came many years ago as a child in the manger. But Jesus, the King of glory, also comes to us every day. Therefore, we need to prepare. At this time when we celebrate the coming of Jesus, we really need to take a good look at our thoughts, our desires, our wishes, and our feelings, and straighten them out if they need to be, and get refocused on Jesus, putting him first again in our lives. Sometimes those low spots are areas of regret that are dragging us down and robbing us of peace, and they need to be filled in. Many of us have things from the past that we have carried just way too long, and they need to be handed over for the Lord to deal with them. For things that we have done wrong, we need to ask for forgiveness, and we need to receive that forgiveness so that we do not live under our own condemnation anymore. For some of us, there may be high spots in our lives, areas of pride where we think that we are self-sufficient and don't really need God. And sometimes there's areas in our lives that we do not want to hand over to God. Those things that we secretly enjoy, but things that we know don't please the Lord. The truth is that if we want the King of Glory to come into our lives in a real and relevant way, we need to hand everything over to him in complete trust and through prayer. It's interesting, at least to me, that John the Baptist preached out in the wilderness. You would think that he would have preached in the city. At least there he may have had more people coming to hear him. There he may even have had better food to eat than locusts and wild honey. But for whatever reason, John the Baptist went to the wilderness of Judea to preach. To the Jewish people, the wilderness represented a time of trial and tribulation. It reminded them of their common history when their ancestors lived in the wilderness for 40 years before they entered into the promised land. They knew that the wilderness was a dangerous place, a place without peace and a place without joy, a place where there were enemies to deal with and where life was hard. I think that there are many people who are in a wilderness today, not a geographical wilderness, but a spiritual wilderness, a wilderness of their hearts and their souls. It may be a wilderness of ill health and physical suffering. It may involve a situation in school where there is constant pressure to give in to peer pressure. It may be in the workplace where it is difficult to live for the Lord, or our wilderness experience may be in our own homes where there's strife and struggle. No matter where our wilderness experience is, God is calling us to give it all to him as we focus on him this Christmas. He has called us to enter into his promised land, his place of peace, joy, and safety that we can all have as we walk daily with the Lord. Some areas of our lives might have to be handed over to God's care, trusting the Lord to work all things out. And there may be other areas in which we have to repent. And forgiveness and repentance are not the same things. Forgiveness is what we ask of from the Lord, and repentance is what we do. And repentance just means turning around. It's a word that doesn't feel so good to many in our feel-good world. But as John the Baptist told us this morning, repentance is necessary to prepare ourselves for Jesus to come and be born in our hearts every day. You know, repentance is kind of like driving along in your car with your wife. When your wife tells you to turn left and you turn right by mistake, it's not always enough just to say, "You're sorry, I went the wrong way." It requires that we turn the car around and head in the right direction. And that's all repentance really means. It means to turn away from the things, our own things, and start doing things God's way. It's more than just realizing that we are wrong. It means that we start going the right way. Several years ago, the Peanuts comic strip had Lucy and Charlie Brown practicing football. Lucy would hold the ball for Charlie's place kicking, and then Charlie would kick at the ball. But every time Lucy held the ball for Charlie, he would approach the ball and kick with all his might. And just at the last moment, at the point of no return, Lucy would pick up the ball and Charlie would kick. His momentum unchecked by the ball would mean that he would fall flat on his back. After a while, poor old Charlie Brown got tired of this and he eventually refused to kick the football. But Lucy begged him to kick the ball again. But Charlie Brown said, "Every time I try to kick the ball, you move it, and I fall on my back." They went back and forth for the longest time, and finally Lucy broke down in tears and admitted, "Oh, Charlie Brown, I have been so terrible to you over the years, picking up the football like I have. I have played so many cruel tricks on you, but I've seen the error of my ways. I've seen the hurt look in your eyes when I've deceived you. I've been wrong, so wrong. Would you give a poor, penitent girl another chance? Will you forgive me?" Charlie Brown was moved by her display of grief and responded, "Of course I'll forgive you." He stepped back as she held the ball, and he ran once again. And at the last moment, Lucy picked up the ball again, and Charlie fell right on his back. Lucy's last words were, "Recognizing your faults and actually changing your ways are two very different things, Charlie Brown." When I think about our responsibility to prepare the way for the Lord in our own lives, I'm reminded of that passage of Scripture in Revelation 3:20 where Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with that person and they with me." At this time of Advent, of this Christmas season, we remember that Jesus came as a baby into our world. We also remember that he is coming back. But what is also important to remember is that Jesus comes to us now, each and every day. Jesus comes to each and every one of us and knocks on the door of our hearts, asking if he may come in. This passage was not written to the unchurched or to unbelievers. It was written to those who had already placed their trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But Jesus knew the obstacles that come into people's lives. Sins and worldly things that can clutter our hearts. Things that can prohibit us from fellowshipping with him each and every day. It is so sad, but Jesus is used to people not making room for him. Do you remember the words of Luke 2:7 that say, "Mary brought her firstborn son forth and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him at the inn." On that very first Christmas, there was no room for Jesus. And over the centuries, people have placed obstacles in the way and filled their lives with other things to keep him out of their hearts. But this Christmas, I hope and I pray that we will all make room for him in our lives and in our hearts. This Christmas, let us prepare for the celebrations. Let us decorate our homes and buy our presents, but let us also prepare our hearts. Because what's the point of celebrating Christmas without Jesus? It's His birthday, after all. So let's get rid of anything in our lives that would hinder Jesus from coming into our lives. Coming in the fullness and power that would allow us to be the people that He has called us to be. At this time of year, let us remember that Christmas is not just about that day when Jesus was born so many years ago, but Christmas is also the time to remember that Jesus comes to us, each one of us, and asks if there is room in our hearts for Him.